Hello, Swamp Fox. This is Colonel Bose, and welcome to the December edition of Fox Chatter. Today, we'll have Master Sergeant Justin Caton and Chief Kenny Monroe from recruiting. Master Sergeant Jennifer Harrison will give us some details on Winterfest. And Mr. Rico Brown from Psychological Health is going to provide some important information about mental health in the holiday season. All right, I want to start this episode with a huge thank you to the wing. When I took over command, we got thrust into an immediate thrash of getting ready for a large inspection. And the rules were changing and we didn't really know what to expect. And that thrash went all the way down to every person on the base. So thank you for sprinting through that, getting through that marathon. And we did a great job. So thank you again for all of the hard work and the time and the dealing with the constant punches that we were being dealt. All right, so for the exercise, the results were extremely good in my opinion. Parts of the inspection results are classified. That portion isn't the most important. The portions that were unclassified were from the foundational readiness inspection portion of it, which is really compliance. And for that part, we were effective, very nearly highly effective, which is the highest grade that you can get. For the combat readiness inspection side of it, we did a great job. We impressed the inspectors. They really appreciated how everyone dove into the scenario and they were thinking creatively and we were getting after all the problems that we were inducing on ourselves and the fact that we were testing ourselves all the way to the point of failure, which is what they want to see. They don't want to see you just hit home runs. They want to see you have to deal with challenges and see if you can find where your breaking point's going to be. So now you can identify exactly how well you can expect to operate in that type of situation in the future. There was a list of superior performers. My intention was to read that out on here, but the list is so long, it will just take too long and I will lose everyone's attention. So we're going to send that out in email and we're going to make sure that commanders are distributing their certificates for all of those awards. But again, your performance was extremely admirable. Everybody did a fantastic job. Not to mention that 2 to 3 days later, we took 10 of our jets and we flew them down to Tyndall Air Force Base for Checkered Flag and WESIP. We mentioned before that Checkered Flag was a large force exercise where we're taking large numbers of fighter aircraft, 4th and 5th gen, F-22s, F-35s, F-16s, F-15s, and we are operating them in an advanced threat scenario to see how well we can operate together and to see where our breaking point is against adversarial threats. And the results back from that were very good as well. So that was combined with a WESIP, which is a weapon systems evaluation program. That's where we're taking live weapons and we're evaluating them from cradle to grave. And what that means is we're starting with munitions, receiving the ammo, building it up, transitioning that over to weapons and hanging it on the airplanes, avionics, testing the jets to make sure that all of the weapon systems are operationally functional, handing that over to the crew chief, who's now making sure the entire jet is mission ready and ready to go fly the sortie. Then the pilots have to mission plan to make sure their weapons pairings are correct for whatever targets they're assigned, all the way through the employment of actually hitting the pickle button out over the Gulf of Mexico, shooting their live air-to-air missiles and air-to-ground missiles and bombs, and then evaluating whether they hit the target, and then if we get the desired weapons effects from that weapon on the target. All of that is being evaluated by inspectors from ACC as well. The official results haven't come back yet, but the anecdotal report was one of the cadre there said that we were the best unit that he's seen in his entire time of performing that mission at Tyndall. And he's been there approximately 5 years. And he's not talking about F-16 units. He was talking across the board. He thinks we are one of the best units that he's ever seen go through there. That was across the board as well from maintenance, logistics, and ops, and everybody that was involved in making that happen. So we thoroughly impressed them. And that leads back to our day-to-day training. So the things you're doing every day are vitally important because it's a building block approach and it's getting us ready for these evaluations. And now that we're at that level, we just need to maintain that level. Being consistent throughout the year, constantly training, when it's time for the next evaluation, we shouldn't have to sprint again. We should be able to just continue walking and it'll just be another day and it's just somebody else coming in to watch us and we'll keep doing the same things we're already doing. Nothing should need to change. So thank you so much again for all of your efforts into all of that. That leads us into what's coming up, which we are now certified and ready for our upcoming deployment cycle, which will start next spring, which is currently going to be ONE at home station, but that can change at any minute. So now we need to switch gears and we just need to start prepping for ONE. That means we can throttle back a little bit on some of the exercises and the deep dives into things that we've been doing. Take a breath as we get through the holiday season. December drill traditionally is a little bit more laid back. Should be lots of holiday parties. I'm expecting those probably to start Saturday, probably around lunchtime with lots of food in your squadrons. And then that leads right into Winterfest, which will start at 11 o'clock. There is no current plan for large-scale food at that, so make sure you're eating with your squadrons and enjoying the fellowship there before heading over to Winterfest. Winterfest will have some food and snacks and things provided by some great volunteers, which Jennifer will talk about here shortly. We'll also start Winterfest off with presentation of our annual awards. So before we get to the annual awards, I'd like to go ahead and announce the third quarter award winners, since we need to do that before the fourth quarter and the annual awards. So full-time airman for the third quarter was from the 169th Maintenance Squadron as Senior Airman Spencer Gonzalez. The traditional airman was Airman First Class Jada Hagler from the 169th OSS. Full-time NCO is Tech Sergeant Michael Floyd from the 169th FSS. Traditional NCO, Staff Sergeant Charles Tant from the 169th Civil Engineering Squadron. Full-time Senior NCO, Master Sergeant Roy Culp from the 169th Maintenance Squadron. Traditional Senior NCO, Master Sergeant Micah Reynolds from the FSS. Full-time CGO, Second Lieutenant Bodry Francis from the Mission Support Group. Traditional CGO, Captain Lisa Allen from the 169th Fighter Wing Staff. Full-time FGO is Major David Leadham from the 169th Ops Group. And the traditional FGO is Lieutenant Colonel Keith Moore from the 169th Operations Group. Appreciate all the work you guys did. Well-deserved awards. And again, we'll announce the fourth quarter here shortly. Should be hearing about that at drill. And then the annual awards will be presented at Winterfest. Speaking of Winterfest, next up we got Master Sergeant Jennifer Harrison, who's going to give us a quick update on Winterfest.
It will take place during our regular scheduled drill, December 7th. It'll be from 11 to 1600. There's going to be quite a bit of activities. We want it to be very family focused, and we want everybody to have max participation, a lot of involvement, kind of give everybody a break from what we've been doing the last several drills. We have the giant Jenga games. We have cornhole boards set up. We'll have a few prizes here and there that they can win for participation. We also have a lot of participation from the USO. We'll have cookie decorating. They provided us with that. The hot chocolate station, a bunch of different variations of things, marshmallows, just all the different things the kids can add to it. And they also have new this year, we will have the gaming trailer. It will have an Xbox and PS5s. So they'll have several stations of that. That's actually new this year. We're going to definitely make sure we give a big thank you to USO. They've been very gracious over the last several Winterfests. We also have Pie in the Face with FSS. That will be primarily driven by Chief Wingate. And also we have...
Of course, Santa Claus.
Yeah, well, that
Santa
too,
will
yes.
Taxi in on an F-16.
Yeah, Santa Claus. That'll be around noon. We actually have quite a bit of decorations that a lot of people have contributed this year. After the Santa, basically have all the kids go meet Santa. They have plenty of activities that they can be involved in between there.
And photographs.
Yes, absolutely. We will have photo elves that are available. You can take your own photos, and I will actually have my daughter participating in some of that and taking pictures as well. There'll be enough to go around. We tried to spread it out throughout the time span to keep people engaged throughout the day. We actually have the family readiness. He will be participating a lot in the volunteer process. Nick Thomas.
They're still looking for volunteers to run some of the game stations, cookie decorating, face painting, etc. So what are you guys still looking for?
We'll need it for a cleanup crew and a hot chocolate station. And we also have, one more slot for the photo elves. We've actually had quite a bit of people volunteer for as far as the setup, but maybe mostly cleanup and cookie decorating as well. We have a sign-up genius that was actually sent out through the email to all 169 personnel.
Heard rumors of ugly sweaters and mustaches?
Yeah, so the mustache judging contest, that was more of a fun activity for everybody. It's nothing to take like super serious, but it was one of the things that Thurgo had suggested. So we figured it'd be fun to kind of get everybody involved in that. And also the ugly sweater, we will have the tackiest, the ugliest, and the most creative. So make sure that you definitely participate in that. And we have trophies as well. to participate in the ugly sweater. Basically, just as soon as you get there, you can kind of, I probably have a sign up sheet for that. And obviously just be in the general area whenever we're going to be judging that.
Awesome. Jennifer, thank you so much for volunteering to set all this up for everybody. Everybody's been working hard. We always look forward to some time off in December, and Winterfest is a great way to do that. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, next up we got Master Sergeant Justin Caton and Chief Kenny Monroe from recruiting. Justin Caton is the recruiting flight chief, and he's in charge of our day-to-day recruiting efforts here at McIntyre. So currently we are what's called green, which means we're over 100% manned, and we like to stay that way. The only way to do that is through recruiting new people. Justin, welcome. Tell us a little bit about y'all's recruiting efforts.
Thank you for having me, first off. Recruiting efforts in South Carolina are going really well. Ever since COVID happened, we've actually been better than most states, and the commanders here are really happy because we're staying green, which is what we're always looking for, to be able to sustain our mission and be able to get new missions eventually.
How are you recruiting here locally in the state? Is it more of going out to schools and actively doing that, or are you guys more of a word of mouth and people are just reaching out to you?
I would say it's kind of a mix. We have a really good recruiting team. Our recruiters do a very good job of rapport with the applicants, and they spread their name really well and become that voice in the community of, hey, this is the person you need to go talk to for anything with the Air Force and the Air National Guard. So that is a very strong selling point for our recruiters. Also, the school program is beneficial for us in some capacity. However, we have seen a decline in the high schools lately, but we're working on that to get that improved. High school programs are always where the bread and butter in recruiting is, especially grassroots recruiting. So we're going back to that really, really hard here in South Carolina and getting into the schools and getting to know our instructors and teachers and trying to really build South Carolina Air National Guard and making us known in the state.
Yeah, and a lot of recruiting also happens fairly informally. You go out to lunch and somebody always stops and asks, hey, you're wearing a uniform. Where do you guys work and what do you do? Really, all of us are recruiters, right?
Yes, sir. We are all recruiters. Anytime you go out and you're wearing the uniform or you're wearing a Swamp Fox shirt or you're wearing anything Air National Guard, you are a representation of this unit and the Air Force as a whole. You at any point could pick somebody up and start telling your story about why they need to join and why it's important, because you don't know what that person's going through. If they need money for school, if they need the medical benefits for their family, you don't know what that person's going through. So just hearing your story a lot of times is the best recruiting tool that anybody can carry with them.
Well, obviously, we're all not going to be experts on the incentives and all the specifics of the program, so we need to get them in touch with an actual recruiter to get into those level of details. But do you have an overview of some of those things just so people are kind of aware of them?
Yes, sir, I do. Currently, the Air National Guard, I think as a whole, is leading the way when it comes to national incentives. Currently, if you have never served in the Air Force or military as a whole, there are certain career fields out there that you're getting $50,000 bonuses. And if you have served and if you have questions about what jobs are on that list, I highly recommend getting in contact with those recruiters for them to be able to see if you're eligible for maybe even a little bit more money. I know retention-wise, there's a few career fields here on McIntyre where you can get up towards a $90,000 sign-on bonus or retention bonus as long as you're fully qualified in that career field. I would recommend reaching out to the retention manager, Master Sergeant Edmonds. He's unable to join us today, but he will be able to tell you what careers those are and how much you're actually eligible for.
Okay, so we get a lot of recruits from within our own families. A lot of families continue to serve at McIntyre. And friends, how do we get the information? We meet somebody, they say they're interested. How do we get them in touch with you? And
best way to get in touch with a recruiter, tell everybody there is an app called the Aim High app, and you can carry that on your phone at any point. And it shows every single either Air Force active duty, guard, or reserve recruiter across the state and where their office is located. It also gives you like brief information about each component and how they differ and how they're alike. Or you can reach out to me directly. My desk phone number, I'll tell you right now, is 803-647-8824. You can call me anytime, and it's forwarded to my cell phone as well. So if I'm out and about, give me a call. The McIntyre app itself has ways of getting hold of the recruiters as well. We also have the webpage, and it shows the recruiter's contact information as well as the recruiter's photos and my ugly mug on there as well.
Okay, so we are all recruiters. You are officially a recruiter, but there's also opportunities for people to volunteer and assist with recruiting. If they wanted to do those types of things, you have materials and resources available to assist them in that, correct?
Yes, sir, that is correct. We have a bunch of materials. So if you're willing or wanting to go into your local community and recruit as well, we will help set you up and give you materials to go in, pamphlets to go into the high schools. Or if you're wanting to join a recruiter, if they're going to your local schools, we will gladly accept anybody that's wanting to go into the schools or go into the community at an event. Every year we have Darlington. We have those big name events that we go to. So if you're interested in things like that, I know in the next few weeks, we have a few career fairs that are coming up in the local community. We have one in Camden that's going to be going on. We have some of the unit members going out there for that. So if you're interested, get with recruiting, get with your commanders, and they will all be able to link together and help out with recruiting in the state.
All right. Recruiting is also involved in the college assistance program to help students be able to pay for college through their service. So we got Chief Master Sergeant Kenny Monroe here is going to give us a quick introduction to the CAP program.
CAP is the college assistance program that the state of South Carolina provides to military members to go towards their educational plan. This is in addition to any federal funding that you may be eligible to receive. And the open enrollment for the upcoming program is November 20th to December 15th, which covers the spring and summer semesters. If you have previously enrolled in CAP during the summertime, you do not need to re-enroll. This is only a period for those who have come back from tech school or either missed the opportunity to enroll during the summer. You have up to $11,000 that you could use for an associate's program for the academic year, and you have $5,500 that you could use toward a bachelor program. There are certain certification programs that do qualify for CAP funding, but you have to check with the program CAP manager to find out if that certification is academically accredited. A flyer will be emailed out to all the wing members, and it contains a QR code that you can scan, and it will take you directly to the Air National Guard application page. There will also be a link in the email that you can click on if you don't want to scan the QR code. And when that link opens up, you will select the application for the Air National Guard. You'll see both Army and Air, but make sure you select the Air National Guard. For more information about the CAP program, you can reach me directly via email, or you can come by the 169th Fighter Wing Headquarters building to the customer service section and ask for me there.
All right. Thanks, Chief Monroe. Appreciate that. It's definitely a valuable resource that people need to take advantage of and make sure that they're able to help get their education paid for through their service. So what are your target goals for recruiting this year?
Yes, sir. So this year, our target goal for recruiting for the wing as a whole is 146 personnel. So that's non-prior, so never have served. Prior service, meaning anybody who has served in the military at any point that is still eligible. And Palace Chase, Palace Front, so individuals who are currently on active duty that are wanting to transfer to the Guard. Palace Chase is individuals who are in the middle of their contract. Palace Fronts are at the end of their contract and wanting to come over. So these individuals are fully trained and can come in and step in immediately in the career and continue on their service.
Yeah, we also have recruits from other services. So I know we definitely have Army, Navy, and Marines. We even have a young person that's about to join us from the U.S. Merchant Marine Academy. So prior service and other services is also welcome, correct?
Absolutely. We welcome them with open arms. Every day, we don't make no judgments on other components. So we will definitely help you out there as well, even with the other components. So if you're a prior service and you've never received a bonus and you've completed your service, you can receive up to $75,000 bonus on that as well, potentially. I would tell you to reach out to recruiters if you're interested in coming over. That is if you're fully qualified in a certain careers that come over to the Air National Guard. So prior service, we do welcome them from other components as well.
Yeah, so we're always looking for good people. So if they're right out of high school as a new recruit, that's great. If they are currently serving in another state and they want to transfer, that's great. If they're on active duty and want to move over, that's wonderful as well. So there's lots of opportunities to get into the South Carolina Air National Guard. There are also some hurdles, especially with the young recruits, right? So getting through the qualification process can be a challenge, right?
Yes, the qualification process now has changed. I know a lot of us have been in the military for a few years now. So when we came in, We were all told different things about the recruiting process when we go to military entry processing, or MEPS. That has significantly changed. We actually can go in and see the medical history that you've went and done things at hospitals, at doctors. So in this process, we ask everybody to be as forthright with their information as possible. If you can't remember, just say, I can't remember, but this could have happened. And we will go in and have you look at your medical history and have MEPS look that up and make sure that you're actually good to go. Because I know I wouldn't probably be sitting in this seat right now if this current process was in place whenever I joined a few years ago. If you are considering getting out of the military as a whole, I would highly, highly recommend you look at your options and talk to your commander about your options because of this. If something changes next year and you've already been out a year, it may be too late and you may have to go back through MEPS as well and have to go through that process. So then your VA records come into a question as well at MEPS. So everything, I would highly recommend talking to recruiting, just one-on-one as hypotheticals even. You don't have to bring anybody's name into it, but definitely talk about hypotheticals.
All right, perfect. Well, Justin, Kenny, thank you both for coming in today, telling us about recruiting. It is a huge challenge to keep our numbers full. People are constantly leaving, so we need to always replace them. And finding people to replace them can be an extreme challenge. So we really appreciate your efforts. Thanks.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. And next up, we got Mr. Rico Brown, who's our Director of Psychological Health here at McIntyre. And as we get into the holiday season, we often think that these are going to be happy times because we're going to be around friends and family, but that's not always the case for everyone.
Yeah, that's right, sir. Just to talk a little bit, I know there is a term that floats around called seasonal affective disorder, and that's actually not a diagnosis. It is a term, a slang term, that really talks about depression, right? So depression is the loneliness and the sadness and the consistent feeling of apathy and low energy. Those are things that happen when we don't have support. We don't have family around us, right? It's specifically increased during the holidays, Thanksgiving, times when we celebrate and have joy for the people around us. But unfortunately, there are those of us who don't have that. One of the things that I'd like to point out to you guys is my family, I consider the 169th my family, is to look out for each other. You know, one of the things that we think about when we think helping someone through a difficult time is what protective factors do they have? Do they have any family members? If there's somebody that you know that maybe is alone or doesn't have as much of a family support, invite them to your house. You never know what the response might be. It could be no. Follow up with another ask of hey, did you find somebody later on, maybe a couple of weeks later? It's always important to just, you know, ask the question versus wondering, man, should I have done that? Much like suicide prevention, we ask the question so that we know and we don't have to guess whether somebody was struggling or not. This holiday season, I'd love for you guys to just think about how you can look out for each other. In that talk about suicide prevention, I also want to kind of do some culture change talk about how training for suicide prevention is not just a yearly redo, right? But it's training our mind and our brain to be able to respond to people who are in distress. Much like the medical process, right? We go to CPR training every year. We do it annually. So I want you all to think about suicide prevention training yearly, not as just another task or a box checker, but I want you to think about, hey, I'm going to guard my mind and make sure that I'm responding to the people that need me the most, right? Family. That's what we talk about, family. We need to do suicide prevention training so that we can make sure we're up on our game when we're responding to our friends and family.
Thanks, Rico. So if you are aware of your own issues and you need help, or if someone brings issues to you and you know that they need help, who can they reach out to?
Of course, you guys can always reach out to me. You will see me walking about and the base in different squadrons, so you can always pull me aside. I like to go around and hand out cards. But in addition to me, there's also the Military and Family Life Counselor. And if you have your phones available with you, her number directly is 803-530-8133. And so that resource is important because I personally can't see children. I can't see family members for more than a session for information and referral. But this resource is so important because she can see families and also dependents with no obligation for pay. Anyone who has a family issue or a dependent issue, it's a really good resource to have. They're pretty much like military one source on base. So you don't even have to call the number, you just call Trina. Miss Latrina Moore, she sits in the chaplain's office throughout the week and on drill weekends, and she's available to all of our members. Additionally, there is a resource out there for National Guard members Vet Center. They are a free resource for anyone, right? There's an MOU that came out a couple of years ago. They are a free resource for anyone, especially on drill weekends. You can go there to get support. In addition to that, there's also another one that I'd like to bring to your attention called Stephen Cohen Center for Counseling. That is a free, I want to say free, but let me curb this. They will always reach out to your insurance to try and get whatever they can, but it, ultimately you will never have to pay a copay with them for counseling. So that's family counseling, and their definition for help is very loosely used to include everyone that you consider family. So I think those are really good resources just to keep in our front pocket to think about when we need some support for ourselves or our family members.
Yeah, you can always reach out to your commander as well. And if you have something that is of urgent nature, then you can always seek a medical provider and, you know, go to your local emergency room if need be.
Sorry.
But we're a family here, so we're all here to help each other. So if you are in need or you know somebody in need, please make sure you're reaching out to somebody. Rico, thanks a lot. Appreciate it again.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate you coming in.
Thank you.
All right, next, I'd like to talk about one of the questions we received through the Air Force Connect app and the comment box. So the question was, please help us understand the challenges and limitations that the base has with internet capabilities, as well as options being considered as future solutions. I've heard that Starlink was floated as a solution and use it personally. Such a solution could also bridge limitations encountered in TDY and deployed environments. Would you also discuss the base perspective of such options? Well, there's a lot to unpack in that question, but I'm happy to talk about it. So first is the comm infrastructure and bandwidth is definitely a priority for our unit. We are the Air and Space Force, and we have to communicate, as we just proved during our exercise, if we're going to be effective. And we need that in our day-to-day operations as well. But as we form TTPs that are based on agile combat employment, communications become even more important, as we are going to be geographically separated from each other, and that need to communicate is going to have to be through means that are other than in-person and face-to-face. So we're going to rely on cellular phones if they're working, open internet if it is available, and then obviously we're going to need secure communications as well if we're trying to keep things secure and out of the hands of our enemies. Things that we're challenged by are funding and authorities. So first, we need money to pay for it and to operate it, but then we also need what's called an ATO or an authority to operate if we're going to utilize that system on a specified network. So currently, we only have three ATOs on base. The first one's for NIPR, which is unclassified. CIPR and JWICS are the two classified networks that are authorized to operate. Anything else that touches those has to be approved by higher-level headquarters, and it has to meet all of their security protocols. And that is an extreme challenge. If we make any small changes, then that violates our current ATO for the existing network. So it is a very challenging situation. We do have two off-base commercial internet providers, but we use those to operate the Morale network and also the eTools network. Those are great for getting around the requirements of the official ATOs, but they're also very limited because those networks can't often touch the applications or the software that you need to use on an official capacity because they're not authorized to access the CIPR, NIPR, and JWICS networks. As for the Starlink, that is a great idea, and it was already in execution. So we purchased four Starlink devices. We actually tried to purchase some Starlink devices several years ago while we were at Columbia Airport. However, a lot of those devices were being funneled to Ukraine to assist them, so they were on back order and we were never able to receive them. Now we've been successful in purchasing four of these systems, and you actually used them during the recent exercise. They also went TDY to St. Croix, and they went TDY to Tyndall. So these things are currently already in our possession and being used, but they do come with a cost. That cost is the cost of purchasing the system to begin with, and then the maintenance cost of maintaining it, and then finally the subscription cost to operate it, which is roughly $250 a month for each terminal. And then those are data capped at about 50 gigabytes per month of priority data while they're being used. Those are self-funded by the wing. So the Guard Bureau, ACC, the Air Force, they are not funding this. We just realized that this is a pressing need, and we were able to utilize some of our money to go ahead and purchase those and to get them started to help us out in our execution. So they are available to us, and we can use them. We will continue to use them where we need them, but we can't afford to just have them set up, and we're using those to be your morale network while you're at work during the week. But great question. We are leaning forward and using that stuff. And we're also looking for ideas of how we could find stuff beyond Starlink and also find solutions that are outside of just a comm problem. So thinking outside of the box is part of the ACE construct. Love to hear more of your comments on it. If you have more questions on it as well, definitely reach out to us. Let us know what you want to hear about on this podcast. Let us know what questions you have. Let us know what comments you have, if you like or don't like things. Those are anonymous through the Air Force Connect app. Just click the comment box. You can also reach out directly to the Public Affairs Office. You can also directly send me an email if you would like. It can be less anonymous in that case, but it doesn't matter. The door in the email inbox is always open, so send what questions you have, and I'm happy to answer them. Also, as we get into the holiday season, it's a good time for giving. One way to give is through the Combined Federal Campaign, or the CFC. That is a nonprofit organization that is officially vetted through the U.S. government, and that allows government employees to donate time or money to organizations that you know when you give them money, it's actually going to make it into the hands of that organization, and it's going to be used appropriately. At McIntyre, the volunteer that we have running our CFC campaign is Senior Master Sergeant Casey Watson here at PA. You can reach out to her for more information if you're interested in giving. She's also sent out some emails that will have links to how you can give. And you can also go online to their website, which is givecfc.org. There you can look at background of the program, see what charities are available, and see how you can donate your time, which would be volunteer work, or your money to those worthy organizations. All right, that's going to wrap up the December edition of Fox Chatter. Thanks again for listening. Wishing each of you a happy and safe holiday season. Enjoy the December drill and Semper Prowess.